me here. St. Luke chapter 15. Again, reading with verse number 11. This is a familiar portion of Scripture right here. And St. Luke 15:11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him." Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verses 11 through 13. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. The Bible says here, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not.'" Amen. "And he restrained them not." I want to preach to you tonight with the Lord's help for a little while on what's wrong with our children. What's wrong with our children? Here are these chapters that I read to you here in the book of Luke and in the book of 1 Samuel. Familiar characters. Both of them, there was a father. Both fathers were good men. And we see that good men sometimes can make bad choices. And in 1 Samuel, you know the story of Eli, how Eli restrained not his children. You know, sometimes people are good about getting on to others and knowing how others are supposed to be treated and raised, and yet they're not very good themselves. Now, I want to say first off, I wished I could have preached this when I was 16. Back then, I knew how to raise kids. I've got four right now, and I'm thoroughly confused. But maybe the Lord will help me to say a little bit of something here tonight that might help somebody. I really would like to. But here we find good men that really are godly men. Seem like the Lord has used these men, but somewhere along the way they made some bad decisions for their children. You know, we hear a lot of preaching about this, the parable here of the prodigal son. We hear a lot of preaching about the hog pen. We hear a lot of preaching about him coming to himself and realizing where he's at and deciding, "I've got to go back home to where my father's at." And we hear a lot of preaching about him coming back and the father forgiving him. And we love to hear about that. And we hear a lot of preaching about how it goes down into the far country and the dangers of the far country and how it was there in the far country that he wasted all of his substance with riotous living. And we hear about that. But I want to back up tonight and let you look at a verse here with me. The Bible said this man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And then I want you to notice this. The Bible said, "And he divided unto them his living. And then not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey." Do you know, more than likely this young man would have not have wasted his life had there been something in the father that said, "I'm going to wait a little while longer before I divide it all up and I pass it out." You know, God help me as a father to understand how to raise children. God help me as a father to understand that my children do wrong also. It's not always somebody else's. But God give me wisdom to understand that my children are human too. Amen. Well, you just look around at the world today. in the shape that America's in the shape that our nation's in, and our children in America today. You know, I've heard on the news, I'm sure you've heard about different things on the news, but here a while back there was a story about an 8-year-old boy and a 6-year-old boy that killed another 6-year-old boy when they was playing upstairs with knives. You know, our young people today and children so wicked and vile, it seemed like. And I understand television and Hollywood and the movies has got into our children's minds and caused them to do these things. And yet we come to the house of God, and there's something we've got to argue with about the things they're placing in front of their children, and the things they're allowing them to see and to view, and that's corrupting their mind. God help us parents to realize the problem with our children a lot of times was right back here. Amen. What's wrong with our children? A kid in Jonesboro, Arkansas a few years back, y'all remember that? Went into the school and began killing teachers and other children. What's wrong with our children? Columbine High School in Colorado, Lupin, Colorado. Young boys there went in, begin killing the other kids in their class, killing the teachers. My God, we got a generation today that's gone wild. A generation today that cannot be handled. A generation that it seems like nobody is able to control them. I read something here a while back. Judge Jacob M. Brandy gives some reasons why kids are so wild today. And you know, it's amazing whenever these judges have to take these young children and sentence them. The reasons they come up with why they're so wild is things that the world promotes outside. But if you come to a holiness church, you'll hear taught against. His judge here said there's 4 main reasons why these children are coming into my courtroom and I'm sentencing them and they're doing wicked deeds. He said number 1 is working mothers. You know, there used to be a time when we preached about a mama staying at home with her children. And I understand there's extraordinary circumstances. We have that in our church where a husband's run off or died or something like that. Mama's got to provide. I understand that. But if you just desire a nicer car, a nicer home, then your children is worth more than that. A woman's place needs to be in the house, taking care of her children right where God intended it. Brothers, it's all right. I don't want to overstep. If you tap me on the shoulder, I'll move on to something else. I know you're not my church here, and I believe Brother McDonald believes most of this. Amen. Number 2, he said, we got movies, radio, and television is corrupting our children today. I'm not talking about a man that is a Christian. He may be some sort of Christian, but he didn't say that in the article that I read. I'm talking about a judge that's sitting on the bench somewhere. He said, this is the problem with our children. Number 3, he said, lack of religious training. Number 4, he said, lack of discipline in the home and in our schools. My God, what's wrong with our children today? Why are they so wild? Why is our world like it is? I believe it has to do with us parents. God help us. Amen. A lack of responsibility in the home. And that's why kids are like they are. And we wonder what's wrong with this generation today. Judge Charles V. Smith, in his courtroom, bowed his head and wept, and tears spilled over onto his desk there as he sentenced a 14-year-old boy to prison. 14 years old. And that boy was sentenced to prison for 5 robberies, 1 attempted robbery, and 1 account of murder. He wept because he knew. He said it was not the boy's fault. He said it was the parents' fault. Where were they at? You may say tonight, Brother Holden, why are you preaching this to us? Why are you talking to us about this? Well, I'll just tell you, the men that I read to you about in the Word of God, they were good men. They were holy men. They were men that were used by God. But the Bible said that He did not restrain His children. And part of that word restrain is train. We got to train a generation that'll be able to be ruled over and be able to submit to authority. We're living in a world today where nobody wants to answer to anybody. Nobody wants to look at anybody and say, yes, sir, I'll stop. And then, you know, and I'll just tell you, we was talking about, I don't know, but maybe this wife's message on my mind. We was just talking about discipline nowadays. And something was mentioned. They was talking about how Papa Bob used to discipline them boys. You know, and they said we was disciplined different than what people are nowadays. You know, and thank God for it. You know, there's training that goes into it. You know, I believe in punishment. I really do. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I believe in that. But you know, just beating the devil out of them isn't always the right way to do it. I had one preacher one time told me, he's a young preacher, a little older than myself, but he said, our children, and he's little, I believe they ought to say yes ma'am and yes sir. Now you may not, and that's you, and you deal with that. I mean, you know, whatever. And I believe we ought to teach them respect, you know, and brother and sister. I heard Brother Russell McDonald one time, somebody called him Russell. Man, don't do that. He said, put a handle on it, Shine. Amen. Brother McDonald. Amen. You may be good friends with him, but he's not Shaddy. Amen. He's not Shad or Shadrach. You know, I've heard some of his friends, you know, real close to him, call him different things. Good friends. I understand friends like that, but that's Brother McDonald right there. Huh? That's Brother Shad. One man come to my church, he said, you better call this man Brother Pastor. Well, I really didn't care for that. I don't, you know, they can call me that if they want to, but Brother Tracy would be fine with me. Just put some kind of handle on it. Amen. Well, I don't know why I'm preaching all this. Maybe you need it. You know, this preacher told me, he said, you know, my kids, this is the way I did it. Now, I don't do everything right. My kids are pretty good when they're in arm's reach. They get around the corner, they ain't no telling what they're going to do. But as long as I can slap them, you know, they'll normally do pretty good. And so my little ones, you know, start little. You know, they would say, you want this? They'd say, yes. I'd just say, yes, sir. I didn't whoop them for it. I'd just say, yes, sir. Just remind them. Every time, you want it? No, sir. No, ma'am. And you know, they picked it up. This guy said, well, I'll just wait till he's about 5 or 6 and said, I'll beat the devil out of him what I'll do. You know, he's an idiot. You can't raise kids like that. You know what that does? That makes them rebel. That makes them bitter. That makes them hate you, really. A kid likes somebody to be consistent with them. You know what kids are always doing? They always seeing just how far they can go. You know, and if they can go over here right now today, you know, and tomorrow they'll go way over here, they don't know how far they can go. They're always going to be trying. And then the next day they just take one step over and just wah, 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 get beat to death. They don't know how far they can go. Sometimes we need to be consistent on how we discipline and raise our children. Now, there's some things here in the Bible. Just read you some scriptures. Boy, we're having fun. You're having fun. I hope you're having fun. It's all right with you. It's all right with me. I'll be done in a little while. If you want your offering back, meet me at the back. Be sure to let me know what you give. Proverbs 19:13, the Bible teaches us, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. And then verse 18 said, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Have you ever heard, I just can't stand it till you cry. Boy, my mom wasn't like that. No. I'll tell you about the beating sometime my mom gave me. I told my dad he couldn't. Or my dad was out of town. I told my mom, I said, you can whoop me, but you can't hurt me. She likened to have beat me to death. I realized, pick up, UPS here. I realized that mama could hurt me. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, some of you kids aren't with me right here, but I'm telling you, one day it's going to pay off. You know, you'll beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. You know, you teach them that there's a thing called respect. There's a thing called authority. And the reason why some people do not respect God and realize God is their authority is because there's never been a figure of authority in their life. And they've never been taught to respect anybody. I was driving down the road one time, I was evangelizing, trying to stay awake. You know how it is, Bushhead. This is long before satellite radio. That's long before cell phones. It was real popular. And I was surfing the radio stations, you know, trying to find something to keep me awake. And I found this talk show about raising kids. And I thought, you know, I got one or two of my own. I might as well listen and see if I can't learn something. I should have been the guy teaching. Lady called and said, I just don't know what to do with my boy. Said he's just coloring all over the walls. Said our sheetrock is covered with colors all through the house. What am I going to do with him? You know, I had some good advice. I just didn't have the number to call right then. That guy said, well, get him some washable markers. Hang sheets up all over the house. It's just the stage he's in. He'll grow out of it. I mean, I was beating on the dash, woke my wife. I said, get the devil out of him. That's what he needs. I mean, there's two ways to get a devil out. You pray it out or beat it out, you know. And, you know, there's ways you can curb that, friend. You got to let him understand there's only so far you can go, and that's far enough. Oh, God, help us. You must break their will. You know, I've seen people get whoopings. Lord, it went, I'm from foul whooping. Now, y'all know what whooping is? There's a difference in whooping and spanking. I've seen them pick them babies up, or not babies really, you know, I don't whoop babies. You know, but young ones still got maybe a diaper on or wearing them training underwear and panties, whatever you call them things. They're called pull-ups. I can't do a setup, so I can't remember pull-up. I do one a day when I get up in the morning. When I lay back down at night. I'm exercising. It won't take me long. And man, I've seen them grab that child. Come here, son. This won't hurt very bad. And say, now, you don't do that again. You know what you just did? You just made a fool of yourself. And probably made them mad. You know? You know? Yeah! I mean, I've seen them push on mama's foot, and, you know, knock their glasses off, and they're saying, stop it, mama, stop it. Man, I'd have had, oh, I don't know what I'd done if I'd done that as a kid. Oh, Lord have mercy. No. You know? Oh, God. I'll come back some other time and preach to you. You know, one time, Trey, my oldest boy, you can always tell a child's never had their will broke. I hope there's none that goes here. Maybe I ought to preach a little while on this, but yeah, you know, he knows you, and you get mad at him, cast darts. I'm going to Joplin in just a couple of days. You know, but Trey, he got down one time, and we'd been working, you know, the yes sir thing, you know. And it's not exactly saying, yes, sir, he got a whipping for. It's just the fact that he refused to say it when mama said, say it. You know, he was young, but he hadn't been taught. He knew how to do it. He always said it. And this lady done something, gave him something. She said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes to him. And Lena said, say yes, ma'am. And he just looked at her. He said, yes. Y'all know my wife. Y'all know her mama. her husband, my father used to whoop me in school all the time down there. It's illegal, I can say it. You know, she said, I said, say, yes, ma'am. And he just said, yes. So, let's start off just to... Now, say... Yes, ma'am. Yes. So she commenced a whooping on him. Just below them sit-ups or pull-ups. Just below them things. You know, on the leg where it gets kind of red. Man, if what them people call whatever it is, I call it scam. Coming here, I heard about this. You know, whooped it to his cherry red, and she said, now say, yes, ma'am. He said, yes. So she turned him over the other leg.
I mean, this is a rotisserie woman. You know. And said, "Say yes, ma'am." And you know, that lady was crying, and my wife was crying, and Trey was crying, and she's saying, "Please, Sister Land, don't whoop him no more." She said, "I've got to. He's got to know who the boss is." And you know, she said, "I had to whip him on and off like that for 45 minutes. And he finally said, yes, ma'am." And you know, that is the last time he ever made up his mind, "I'm not going to do what I'm told." You know the reason why we got some kids around that refuse to do what they're told? Somewhere along the way, mama or daddy, somebody failed to break that wheel. They whipped them till they was mad, and they did not whip them till they submitted. You don't break their wheel when they're young. You got trouble, friend. You got trouble. Because there's going to come a day when that respect is going to have to be there to where they look at you. I remember just before I got saved, there were some things I'd done wicked. It was wrong. And you know, I loved my daddy enough because he broke my will and I had respect for him and I knew he was the boss. He didn't have to whip me. He'd come to me and said, "Tracy, I'm so ashamed of what you've done." He said, "Son," and he cried, he said, "I could whoop you." He said, "But I'm asking you as a man. I don't want you to ever do that again." And you know what? That broke my heart, Brother Shad. Because somewhere years ago, they broke my will. You'll never be able to get their heart if you don't conquer their will. God help me. What's wrong with our children? Sometimes it's us parents. Proverbs 29, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." The reason we can't handle them today is because dad and moms can't handle them. Oh, there's too much divided discipline in the home. Dad and mom, if you disagree on how to discipline a child, get some kind of signal and talk about it in another room. Don't ever let that child hear you saying, "You ought not whoop him." Quiet now. Huh? Don't ever let that child hear that. Because there's something about knowing that authority is divided. That's why I don't believe deacons and pastors should ever have words in front of anybody. Because that allows the laity to realize there's not unity in leadership. And you know what that does? That causes trouble. Learn to keep your mouth shut. You know, my father-in-law told me one time, he said, "I never one time heard my mom and my dad argue." And you know, I got to think about it and thought, I don't guess I've ever heard my mom and dad. I've heard them play. But as far as really get angry and argue with one another, no. I can remember my dad saying, "Marcia." Only like daddy could say, "Marcia." And now, she may stir the potatoes a little quicker. But she never said, "Well, Wayne." Because she was a woman. And she realized, I've got to submit whether I like it or not. God help us. Amen. Never seen them argue like that. When a kid detects that, you know what he's going to do? He's going to play them against each other. I was in a place preaching a revival one time, and these people had a heathen. I mean a heathen. And his mother was the only one that disciplined. That daddy, I'm telling you, that if anything upsets me, it is a daddy that is not a man. I can't stand it. I want to go, bleh. You know, let mama take the lead. You're nuts, pal. You know, and mama was the only one disciplining them children. And she couldn't do it by herself. She needed help. And I seen her whip that child and him say, "Come here. Mama's mean, isn't she?" I thought, dear God, you got trouble on your hands, and it'll be a miracle that child ever serves God and lives right. We don't need divided discipline
in the home. Now, I want to say something to you grandparents. I'm not a grandparent yet, and I understand that. And you may not take this very well from me, but I want to say it as meek and as humbly as I can. Stay out of it! Sometimes, just stay out of it. You know, I told my dad here a while back, my dad's pretty good about my mom, and she's not. She don't ever want the kids to get a whooping. You know, she's getting on. You're whipping them kids too much. I said, Mama, you used to beat me all the time, and the problem is you're just old and you want to go to heaven now. And that's why you're doing different than you did when I was a kid. I said, you'd have beat the devil out of me for the same thing. You know? And she got on me. She said, you're whipping them too hard, son. Now, sometimes they got good advice. My dad told me one time, he said, Tracy, you don't understand how big you are and how hard you hit. And, I never did let my kids dance around. If they ever tried to move, I just kind of held their feet off the ground. They couldn't move. You know, you hold still while I hit. It's kind of like my horse. When I rode horses, I didn't want to move around while I was getting on. Hold still while I vaccinate you. and really, I've held him up and boy, I'm whopping on. When he swings back, he gets up again. My dad said, you don't understand. You're hitting too hard and you're going to hurt his little back. So I said, all right, Dad, next time I hold him against the wall, that way he won't move. sometimes grandparents do have good advice. I'm just kidding about that. Don't call them folks down here. I don't kill my kids. I really don't. So sometimes grandparents do have good advice, but sometimes their heart's just a little too soft as a grandparent, and they don't understand the makeup of that child. My mom told me, said, "Boy, you're whooping them too hard and too much." I said, "Mama, when I was born, I come into this world a lovely lump of humanity. And I said, look what you did to me. I said, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to make something out of this child." Sometimes grandparents just need to stay out. Your heart's just a little too soft. But we got to teach respect. We got to teach the children to respect their moms and dads. I knew there was a DAD before I knew there was a GOD. Do you know that? The first form of God or authority like God that a child understands, that's mom and dad. They understand absolute rule because everything they get comes from them. You know what that is? That's God teaching them at an early age what it's like to serve God and live for God. That's the duty of a parent. And we got kids coming to church. The Sunday school teachers can't handle them. And the bus drivers can't handle them. And you can't take them nowhere with you when the church goes because they get too rowdy and the pastor gets on to them and they don't want to listen to them. Why? It's because they don't have an authority figure at the house that teaches them this is as far as you can go and no further. What's wrong with our children? Amen. Sometimes it's us parents. I was always taught, and I really did, I thought Shaw was the law. That's just the way it was. I never knew that my mom and dad disagreed with Brother Shaw. And I talked to them about this after Brother Shaw's had left, and I said something to them, about people disagreeing and things. I said, y'all never disagreed with Brother Shaw. Daddy said, yeah, I did. I said, you did? He said, there were several things I disagreed with Brother Shaw on. I said, well, I never knew that. He said, that's because I didn't want you to know that. He said, because Brother Shaw was your pastor. He said, and I knew there might come a day where I might not be able to affect you, and Brother Shaw might need to get a hold of you and talk to you. You might.
you with your heart and preach the word to you. And if I go around chewing Brother Shaw out, I knew you'd have no respect for him. And then whenever Brother Shaw needed to get a hold of you and talk to you, you wouldn't listen to him. Hey friend, that's the problem sometimes. We talk about the pastor and we talk about leadership and we run them down and then we wonder why in the world aren't our kids saved? We bring them to church and the preacher gets up and preaches an outstanding message, convictions there, and they walk out the back door and wonder, I just don't know why they're not doing right. Could it have anything to do with, there's times when you had that pastor for lunch and all the respect they built up in that man, you just knocked it away. My God, help us never, never, never to do that. You don't realize what you're doing. There's a soul there. Even if you and your wife disagree, don't talk about it in the car on the way home. It is amazing what little ears hear. Find you a place somewhere and pray over it. Amen. Well, it's been nice being with you. It's about 8:29. I've only got one or two sleeping. Oh, God. Amen. Never, I'm almost through with these notes here. Never put off on your pastor what you should be doing at home. I mean, a pastor has somebody, you know, really most times about 45 minutes where a pastor preaches. Something like that. Sometimes 20, 30 minutes. You multiply that times three. You know, if it's 30 minutes, an hour and a half worth of preaching, you know, 2 hour services, 6 hours a week, and you expect the church to reform that child in 6 hours a week? You don't even show up all services? There's not much of a chance there. Oh, but you know, whenever that child comes to the house of God, and they march up on the platform, and they got a long spit in their skirt, and the pastor comes over to them and says, hey, you know we don't like it around here, and we don't allow that, and that's our platform standard. You, that might not be your standard here. That's your standard. Well, I was pretty sure it was. But I hadn't heard it from the horse's mouth. Well, I mean, here comes little Susie walking up here that slid up her skirt. Brother MacDonald says, hey now, you know that that's the standard around here and we don't allow that on our platform. And you need to go sit down. Pin that thing up. And when you get home, sew it up. And you know, first thing you do is you get upset. You know if you took care of that when they was leaving the house, you wouldn't have had to get upset at the pastor when they got to the church. Amen, brother. Come on now. They get up on the platform and you know they ain't been living right. They've been trimming on their hair or something, you know, wearing a little bit of makeup. And the preacher gets on to them and you want to get mad at the man of God. Don't lay off on the preacher what you ought to be doing at home. You know, I remember a time my dad was not even saved, brother. Not even, it was right before he got saved. And my sister just bought some new clothes. And one of her skirts had split in it. And she come walking out, Mom would go to church. And here he is sitting there with his shorts on and probably no shirt. That's the way he run around most time before he got saved. Surfing the television. He looked over, seen her going out the door. And he said, hey, girl, what are you doing with that skirt on? She said, well, I'm going to church. She said, you know Brother Shaw preaches against them splits. You get in there in your bedroom and you change skirts right now or get it sewed up. You're not going to wear that to church. Thank God. And we got some moms and dads that claim to be Christians and Holy Ghost filled. And they say, well, I don't want to tell my children what to do and run them off. Praise God, friend. That's what you're supposed to do. Is tell them what to do. Teach them what's right. Don't leave it up to the preacher. There'd be a lot less confusion in the house of God if mom and daddy would take care of things at home. Amen. God help us. Don't put off on your pastor what you ought to be doing at home. Because I tell you, losing our next generation, losing these children, it will affect our churches. I evangelized all across the country, and Brother Shad did too for years. How many churches you been in, brother, where it was just a handful of older folks? And all that younger generation gone. You know what happened when Eli heard about his children dying in battle. His children died. He lost his children. And they said, and the ark of the Lord was taken. If we lose this next generation, lose our children, we're going to lose the Spirit of God. And you know what? Ichabod is going to be written over the door. And the Spirit of the Lord hath departed. Oh, God, help us. I hope I've helped somebody here tonight. I want you to know this man was a good man in Luke chapter 11, or 15 and verse 11. But he done one thing wrong. He allowed his son to have too much say-so in his own life at an early age, and his whole life was ruined. Eli was a good man, but Eli restrained not his children, and his children ended up dying lost. Friend, if God don't help us, and if we don't turn ourselves around and realize if we're not going to be the ones to hold on to these children and place something in their hearts, who's going to do it? So my question to you, if somebody comes to the piano tonight, please. And I know this is a little different. And I'm just telling you, this is what the Lord laid on my heart to preach to you. I just want to ask you this question. What's wrong with our children? What's wrong with our children? And I hope tonight that the Lord points something out in your heart, in your life. I don't believe there's anybody in here, including myself now, that can't say, I could do better as a parent. I believe I could. I know I could. There's sometimes I do it. I mean, it's my place, my position to get onto my kids. But you know, I've caught myself before doing it with the wrong spirit. God, help me to do better and not be mean and run them off, but be strong and steadfast but compassionate and do it with the right spirit. I believe everybody here could say, God, help me to do better with my children. As they play, I just want you to come tonight. Let's all gather in. Let's find us a place. Let's ask God to help us. Help us, God, to keep our kids.